Today is 90s day at my daughter Hayden's school. It's Spirit Week because homecoming is coming up this weekend.
How cool.
Yes and no. So when she told me, I'm like, 90s day? You mean 80s day? And she was like, no, it's 90s day, Mom. And I was like, but why would they want to dress up in a decade that was just so recent? It doesn't make any sense at all.
It wasn't that recent. It was 30 years ago now.
Yeah. Doesn't really feel like that.
Yeah, but it is.
That was my teenage years, you know, like, you know, that decade, because I was born in 80s. So I was thinking about it. I'm like, well, what do people in the 90s wear? Because I think back and I'm like, for the most part, don't we dress very similar?
It's the stuff that you're still wearing now, for the most part.
Yeah, 90s clothing. It's a lot of like butterfly clips, NSYNC t-shirts, bucket hats. I mean, bucket hats, were they the 90s?
They were back last year again, though.
Yeah, I'm looking at the 90s clothing, and they're very much what we wear now. The oversized denim jackets, back in style. Flannel shirts, back in style. Sweater dresses, we were at Aerie with my daughter 2 days ago, and she was trying on a sweater dress. The slip dresses, back in style.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't understand. Grunge fashion, all back. Thank you, Olivia Rodrigo.
You know, they always say that things move in cycles, right? Is that because that there's just a lack of original ideas, or we nailed all the good stuff early on? Were the 90s that cool? Were they that good?
I have no idea. If you could go decade by decade and what you would wear, let's start with the 50s. If you're in the 50s, what are you wearing?
I mean, I wouldn't know. I wasn't alive then. So I'm going to guess that it's some sort of like, you know, greaser, you know, leather biker type looking outfit. Right?
I think just a poodle skirt. Like, that's what I think.
Okay. Well, for me, it would be a different choice. Right. Okay. You could wear the poodle skirt, but okay.
60s, what do you wear?
Well, I'm going to be a hippie, right? So I'm going to go to Woodstock. So it'll be like jeans, cutoffs.
Oh, I would think that bell bottoms are the 70s, not the 60s. 60s, I think, the mod. So almost like the pixie haircuts, like Twiggy, she made the 60s fashion very popular. And truthfully, a lot of the stuff they wore in the 60s is common again, like the blazers, you know?
Truth is, I didn't know enough about the 60s, so I'm just going to hang out there, not have a lot of friends, and wait for the 70s to get there. 70s, jeans, back to my tie-dye. Yep, that's what I'm going to do.
I have a picture of my uncle wearing bell-bottom corduroys, and I look at it all the time, and I think, can you imagine as a grown man wearing bell-bottom corduroys at this point?
No, not for even a moment.
80s.
Yeah, members only jacket. Man, they were cool, right?
Z Cavaricci's.
And then, you know, towards the end of the 80s, two jean jackets were back with the back patches.
Oh, yeah. Let's say in 20 years, our kids have to dress up as the 2020s.
Okay.
What are they wearing? For me right now, they're wearing a shrunken sweater and balloon crop jeans. I mean, is that going to stick around as a real fashion statement at this time?
Sneakers and jeans. And this button-up shirt, what a sellout.
Here's a warning. This might get a little bit gross, but it's only for your well-being.
Oh, great.
All right, this lady, she's a doctor. She has gone viral because she said this.
These are the places that you're definitely not washing enough. I'm a dermatologist, and you absolutely need to be washing these places more often than you are.
The three places that you're not washing enough that makes you gross.
Wait a minute. Is this on your body? Is this going to be in your house? What is this?
On your body.
Oh, boy.
Okay, number one.
Up is behind your ear. If you like this behind your ear and you notice an odor to it or you feel something, you should be washing it more. This is also a super common area to get flaking and build up like dandruff.
Absolutely. Behind your ears, it seems like such a childish thing, like you know you have to wash behind your ears. But how often do you really, really wash behind your ears?
Well, I think a lot of people forget, right? But I use the loofah everywhere. I go the whole body, and that includes behind the ears.
I have like little diamond stud earrings, little ones, and I just leave them in all the time. Like I never take them out. When I take them out.
Oh, they're a little funky.
They're smelly and they're gross. and I'm like, ew, you know, and you don't even realize it.
Yeah, if you've left the earrings in long enough that you have to use an alcohol swab after you take them out for a day or whatever to clean them up, then that's gross.
Yes, but you don't even realize it.
Yeah.
All right. Next one is the one that's really, I don't even know if I want to talk about this, but I have to.
Wow.
Also not washing your belly button enough. This is a super common area to collect sweat, debris, dirt, buildup. In fact, if you're not cleaning it enough, you'll have so much debris and dirt in there that you can develop a navel stone.
I had a navel stone.
What?
I had one. So I was young.
How long does it take to create one of those?
Here's the thing.
I feel like that's a fossilized piece of material.
Do you have an innie or an outie?
I have an innie.
I also have an innie.
Yeah.
And my innie is very deep. Okay. Now, this is a real story.
Okay.
So, it was like right after college, and I was like,
"Oh my God!"
Yeah, so
you weren't eight.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
No, and I was like always like clean. Like when you take a shower, you clean yourself, right? And I always would use my pinky nail to clean in my belly button.
Oh my gosh.
And one day, I went in there and I'm like, "What is that?" And I've never heard the stone navel stone until my gosh, I've never heard the
until
word.
Until you went to the doctor.
No. Until yesterday when I was listening to this. So I saw it. I felt it. I went to the doctor because I thought something was wrong. Something was growing out of my belly button. I thought a tree was growing out of my belly button.
Right, right.
And the doctor was shocked by it. She used like these deep tweezers to pull it out, but she also seemed baffled. And now I wonder, had she never seen a navel stone? And I still have the same doctor all these years later, and I want to call her and be like, "Do you remember when I was 22 and I came in and we didn't know what that was?"
I mean, thinking about that, reflecting on that, does that make you feel better or worse? Because I remember, listen, you know, the first time you discover that, oh, wait, this belly button seems to be a catch-all. Like, it's an eye-opening experience. You got to get in there and you got to clean it, right?
Yes.
And it's not comfortable because you got your little folds there or whatever when it goes in. But, you know, I never had a stone.
It's crazy.
A hardened piece of material in there.
If you Google the image, because after I heard this, I Googled the image. I'm like, that's what it was.
Oh, my God.
And I bathe. I don't understand. So you have to be careful of the navel stone.
Yeah, okay.
I just feel like that's important.
All right, what's the third one?
Finally, you're definitely not cleaning your fingernails enough. Showering, you really need to get under those nails with a scrub brush to get rid of the dirt, debris, and buildup.
So, yes, you need to clean underneath your nails a lot. But here's the scary part. Ready?
Yeah.
If you keep getting bacterial infections on the skin, folliculitis, you could be a colonizer of MRSA in those areas.
A MRSA colonizer is when you have, like, an infection, but you don't show signs of the infection, and it's from being gross from these things.
Yeah.
I could have had MRSA, and I didn't even know.
I mean, I would check your belly button now.
Everybody should check their belly button right now.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 It's the little things in life that make you crazy, right? You know, whenever somebody does it, you just roll your eyes and you think to yourself, that's all I need to know about you. Here's your chance to get it off your chest. 1-800-330-9999. Sam.
Okay, all I need to know about you is if you don't like your son's girlfriend or wife or fiance or whatever, that's all I need to know about you.
Well, it's one thing if you don't like them. It's another thing if you let it be known that you don't like them.
Because
that's trashy.
Yeah,
right?
And if you don't like them for, you know, petty reasons.
Or, like, repetitive. Like, if you never like any of your son's girlfriends, like, all you do is talk terrible about any partner who's ever been with.
Yeah, no, that's a different thing.
Yeah.
Don't want to let the boy go.
Well, you know what that is. That's a narcissist mommy. That's what that is. It's all about me. I get it.
Hey, Chelsea, that's all I need to know about you.
If you leave your sheets on the bed for more than 2 weeks, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, I bet you there's a lot of people listening right now that it's definitely been more than 2 weeks.
I mean, that's shocking to me, right? Like, I mean, how many things do you have to hear? How many people have to repeat the fact that that's nasty for you to do something about it? Because that's nasty.
No, I agree. But sometimes you just forget.
What? How do you forget week after week? And then the moment that you realize that you forgot, I'm guessing you're looking at your bed. So change your sheets. What are you talking about?
I had a roommate in college that her mom would come every month and would put 4 of the fitted sheets on the bed at the same time. So that every week she would just take one of the fitted sheets off, the top one, and put it in the dirty thing and then take all 4 of them home.
I mean, that is striking, the amount of lazy that is, that your mother had to develop this plan, this technique to keep you safe.
I know, but I'm here for it. I was like, when I send Hayden off to college, my older daughter, I go, I don't think that's the worst idea in the world.
I mean, do you not think that things go through the sheets? Okay, whatever. Better than not, I guess.
Dylan, that's all I need to know about you.
If you plan a bachelor party that's more than a week long, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, no. How do you even survive a week-long bachelor party or bachelorette party?
This is insane to me how long these things have gotten. Right, right. I mean, it used to be one night or one day and one night. I'm doing a weekend one. I'm going away for a weekend, which is great. But I just talked to somebody the other day that they had been invited to a week-long bachelor party. First off, how do you get permission for that? Because I'm blown away. Second off, how do you afford that? Because me and my friends, like, both of those things would be very difficult for me to accomplish if I had been asked to a week-long bachelor party.
Alexis, that's all I need to know about you.
if you get on the elevator on your cell phone and you just keep talking and keep going when there's other people on the elevator with you, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, this is my favorite phone call. Mm. Deeply personal. Can we be going over some sort of rash I have or something like that? I'm talking with the doctor. No. Sharing our deep financials, right? Passwords and that type of thing.
The best is when I'm on the phone with my mom. I'm like, Ma, I got to call you back. But why?
Right. You finally get her to go to hang up. You're still on the elevator.
Right. Yeah.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
Three news stories. You only hear about one. Raven gets to pick which one it is. Raven, are you ready for today's selection?
Lay it on me.
Okay. Number one. 2,749-pound pumpkin named Michael Jordan breaks world record.
I already saw that. Pretty cool, though.
Number two. Woman blasts landlord for trying to charge $250 for a pet fee for her goldfish.
Well, maybe it's a really, really, really sloppy goldfish.
And number three. Monkey on the loose in Indianapolis seen drinking beer finally caught.
Let's go with monkeys, man. I just watched The Hangover again this weekend.
Okay. So an escaped monkey was caught in Indianapolis after 18 hours of being on the loose.
All right.
So neighbors reported that they saw the monkey drinking beer out of their garbage can. Here is the detective sergeant who finally apprehended Momo.
Said that's, monkey.
Yeah. Well, the monkey's name is Momo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are concerns for public safety, but we also have concerns for the monkey. I mean, we didn't want anyone to injure the monkey. We didn't want the monkey getting hit by a car. Obviously, our officers are not going to know how to deal with a monkey. I've been in law enforcement 24 years. I've never dealt with a monkey.
Yeah, I mean, most people probably haven't had to deal with monkeys.
Well, I mean, it sounds pretty easy at this point. Maybe pick them up a cheeseburger and a six-pack of beer, right? I mean, if you found them in the trash can, this monkey is not surviving, Anna. He's thriving, all right? This is a vacation for him. He's out. He's having a good time.
Yeah, well, you know what I didn't realize?
What's up?
I was like, where did he escape from? Like, where did he get loose from? It was from his owner's property, so it was a private owner's property.
I mean, listen, I'm just going to say that it's a terrible idea to own a monkey, all right? It's not good
unless
for you
very
or the
cute
monkey.
And it's legal.
Of course they're cute. They're always cute, and everything's legal when you spend enough money, but that doesn't make it right.
All right, so one of the guy that actually called in the tip to where the monkey was, here he is.
I work from home, so I was in the middle of a meeting, and I just saw something run across my front yard here, and at first I thought it was a dog, and then realized it was the monkey that's on the loose, and saw it run right into that that vacant house there, so.
Can you just imagine sitting, like, you're working from home, you're staring out the window, you got your cup of coffee in one hand, and all of a sudden you're like, is that a monkey drinking a beer in my front yard?
You got to be thinking to yourself at that moment, like, maybe you've been working isolated too long.
Right.
Right?
It's
like,
time.
You know, maybe I'm seeing things.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, I'm just going to point it out, man. The beers, the monkey's got his hands on beers, and it sounds like he's found himself a house.
Yeah.
Right? So he's squatting in an abandoned house. You know, anybody really think that the monkey might be didn't want to be found?
Right. The monkey was living his best life. The
monkey was like, I have been looking at this place for a long time. This is all part of my plan, man.
What's the strangest thing you saw in your front yard? Did you ever see? I mean, obviously, you've never seen a monkey drinking a beer.
No.
No.
And I mean, I think it's always jarring when you see an animal you don't expect, right? So, you know, right after we got our driveway sealed, for the longest time, for whatever reason, there was this fox and it's like three or four kits. It's baby foxes. It would just walk across our driveway at dusk and in dawn over and over and over again because I would come out and there'd be all these paw prints and then you'd see it on video and it was a little bit, you know, when you don't expect something to be there. The other thing is like when you don't expect somebody to be there and you see a person on your cameras.
Well, that's
freaky.
First of all, number one. Was the fox drinking a beer?
No.
Oh, well,
no.
That's not as cool.
No.
I saw a guy. So a guy got pulled over right in front of my house.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there watching. I was working from home that day. We were broadcasting from home. And I was looking out the window. And he must have been drunk, right?
Okay.
So the cop gets him out. And I'm watching. You know, I'm like ready to get the popcorn. And the guy starts dancing.
Oh.
Yeah. And I'll never forget it because I was like... Babe!
Yeah.
You gotta see this!
Come watch.
Next thing I know, because this is in my old house, all the neighbors started like coming out, just like standing on their doorstep to watch. I was like, this is a show.
I mean, that's why they invented Ring cameras, right?
Mm-hmm. Raising a teenager has to be one of the hardest things because like, as a parent, myself, I feel like a kid. So when I have to put like rules and regulations on her, like I don't know what I'm doing. She's my oldest one. My oldest daughter, Hayden, is 14 years old. She's a freshman in high school. And sometimes, like, I have to make decisions, and I'm like, is this the right decision? Because I don't know, right?
Yeah, with the first one, I mean, I think that there's an awful lot of that. You're questioning yourself half the time.
So we went shopping, and she wanted to buy a certain piece of clothing to wear to school. And I said, absolutely not. And it was such an argument. You would have thought that, like, God only knows what I was trying to say when I told her she couldn't wear this.
Yeah.
So this was the conversation we had.
I just think that it looks terrible to wear flannel pants out in public, especially to school.
Literally everyone wears flannel pants to school.
Okay. At that point, I could not turn into my parents.
Oh, you wanted to do what? If everybody jumped off a bridge?
Literally, it was on the tip of my tongue.
Oh.
It was logically the next thing to say.
Right.
Right. If everybody was jumping off a bridge.
Would you do it?
But I refrained because I knew that that would make me sound 1,000 years old. Yeah.
Okay.
Give me one good reason, besides everybody wears flannel pants to school, that you should do it too, even though they look like you're wearing your pajamas.
Because they're very comfortable. If you're in jeans and you're very uncomfortable at school, it might not help you learn. Because instead of thinking about what you're learning, you're thinking about how tight your pants are.
Why can't you just wear leggings or nicer sweatpants? Fancy sweatpants.
I can, but like the holiday season, you need some jolly pants.
What?
Jolly pajamas. Is what? That what she's saying?
What?
So they're wearing themed pajamas.
That's not even true. They're wearing the plaid flannel pajamas that you see people wearing at Walmart. That's okay. What they're wearing.
Maybe in Christmas colors?
No.
Okay.
No, she's just saying that. I have no idea why.
Well, I mean, the first answer seemed like a pretty logical answer.
Come on.
They're certainly more comfortable than regular jeans.
That's how they manipulate you.
You asked. I'm just saying, you asked for one answer. She gave you one answer, and what you wanted was five answers.
I just don't understand. Like, I have no problem with leggings. Okay. I have no problem with, like, I struggle with the term fancy sweatpants, but fancy sweatpants, like nicer sweatpants.
Sure, no, everybody knows what you mean.
Yes. Like, yeah. To me, all of that is fine. The minute you wear flannel pajama bottoms to school, you've given up. Right? Don't you think that you should look nice? Don't you think you should look nice? You're working so hard there. You're working hard in your classes, and you're going to show up in flannel pajama pants?
I mean, listen, there's other styles that the other kids have worn that you have given into before. And it hasn't been a problem for you for many years because she's had to wear uniforms, right? So that kind of got you out of that trouble before.
Right.
But I mean, this is something that other parents have been dealing with every single year for years.
I gotta go. Five Call says it all. Do you let your kids wear flannel pajama pants to school? Here's an argument I had with my daughter the other day.
I just think that it looks terrible to wear flannel pants out in public, especially to school.
Literally everyone wears flannel pants to school.
She won't give up on it. She won't give up on it.
I mean, I remember when we used to wear, what were they, the arcade pants or whatever, too. They were like, you know, weightlifting pants at that time. It was, you know, similarly ridiculous. And they came in all sorts of crazy patterns. Flannel pajamas seems pretty tame to me.
I just think they look so unprofessional and just sloppy. 1-800-330-9999. Bobby, Five Call says it all. You let your kids wear flannel pajamas to school?
I would, just because I'd rather her wear long pants instead of like a crop top and shorts.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you look at the alternatives, right, and the other stuff that has been in trend over the last few years, I mean, this seems great. Remember when everybody was wearing, you know, clear plastic bras, Anna?
That was 1996.
Well, either way, all right, be glad that that's not what's going on right now.
Well, I mean, they still wear the crop tops and the short shorts. It is going on.
Oh, no, go with the pajamas.
Thanks,
yeah,
Bobby.
Go with the pajamas.
Melissa, Five Call says it all. You let your kids wear flannel pajama pants to school?
Absolutely not. I have a 15-year-old. No way, no how.
Melissa, what's your biggest problem with the pajama pants, just so I know?
Again, they're working hard. Don't you want to dress to impress? Don't you want to focus on being successful? And now kind of what you're wearing makes you look successful.
Even for adults, even for me, when I look good and I dressed well, I do better and work harder.
Well,
right?
I mean, I think that makes more sense for people our age, for people that are going to an actual work. I think when you're a teenage girl, it'd be very hard for me to answer that question from their perspective and hope that I had any sort of accuracy. But okay.
Anne Marie, what do you think?
I'm with you. No, absolutely not. I work in a middle school, and there's so many kids that come in look like they just rolled out of bed.
Yeah, and they probably
have. If there's pajama day or something like that, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But to just let them come in the flannel pants that have the the string at the top with the pockets. They say, oh, because they have pockets that they're like pants. Well, no, they're pajama pants.
Yep.
Well, you sound so, very mad.
You.
Yes. Thanks, Ann.
I want to just remind everybody that you were all wearing, the administrators, the teachers, everybody, they were all wearing the exact same thing going to school just 2-3 years ago, doing it all remote.
Well, that was different. You're home.
Okay.
Lynette, Five Call says it all. Would you let your kids wear flannel pajama pants to school?
Absolutely. They're so comfortable. Oh, my God. I'd love to wear them to work. Yes, yes, yes.
Well, that's jealous. She's going to be one of those adults that signs up for high school and acts like she's still there. Never been kissed. Drew Barrymore. I see.
All right. Oddly enough, we are tied right now. Two yeses and two nos about flannel pajama pants. Let's take one more.
Tiebreaker.
Stacey, we are tied 2-2. Five Call says it all. Do you let your kids wear flannel pajama pants to school?
Yes, I do. Because you know what? Mm-hmm. There's so many other outfits out there that you do not want your daughter wearing. Mm-hmm. I let my kid. And you know what? It's fine because they're comfortable. They're not complaining about that. You got to pick your battle. I would say go.
Cheapest outfits that they want. Cheapest trend that you've endured over the last few years, I'm guessing, too.
This kills me inside. Kills me inside. What's a job that gets a bad rap and you're not really sure why? 1-800-330-9999. My friend's a lawyer, Carrie, and you know, the other day I was talking to her and she was like laughing. She's like, I don't understand. She's like, sometimes I meet people and when I tell them I'm an attorney, they like kind of like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think about it and it's true because when you think of attorney, she's like, people always think I'm sneaky. Like, what did I do to make you think that I'm sneaky?
Yeah, my brother's an attorney and my sister-in-law an attorney, both of them. And there's definitely a stigma that comes with it. You know, what was eye-opening to me is Survivor's on the new season. And it's amazing to me the amount of people that are lawyers that lie about being a lawyer.
It's so weird.
They just tell them that there's something else because people play the game completely differently with them.
Whenever you're in trouble or you need help, you want the best, sneakiest lawyer possible.
That's true.
But
and there's a big difference between just the guy who went through law school or the person who went through law school and the person that is a little bit smarter.
Right.
Huge difference.
They get such a bad rap, and I don't 100% necessarily understand why.
Yeah, well, you need a lawyer when typically you're in trouble or you're in some situation. I'll give you one. Mechanic. Nobody trusts their mechanic. Mm. Nobody trusts their mechanic.
When they give you a price.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like the guy is just there. They're just there to keep your car on the road and safe. Like, I mean, things cost money. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I get it.
See, look at you. You don't even trust the mechanic. I say mechanic, you still don't trust them.
It doesn't. You're 100% right. No matter what price the mechanic says.
Any price.
My father will immediately be like, I don't know.
Right.
You got to bring in somebody else.
Right.
Doesn't even matter what the price is. Ted, what do you think is a job that gets a bad rap?
Plumbers. Everyone always saying, you know, I had a plumber at the house. This guy gets like 50, 60 bucks an hour, and he's just a plumber. But I would think, well, if he's just a plumber and why'd you need him? Because obviously you couldn't do the job yourself. You had to call them to come in and save the day. There's a reason they're getting $50, $60 an hour. Not a glamorous job. These guys are well paid for a reason.
I agree with that 100%. They get a bad rap, plumbers. $125. They didn't do anything. You know, it's always the same thing. Like, well, you called them. You needed them, clearly.
What stinks is it's always like an emergency, right? Nobody's sink or, you know, water stops at a convenient time where you call up and the plumber is just sitting there with nothing to do that day. Oh, wouldn't you know, sir, we're running a special on backed up toilets. No, you got to pay the house call fee because they're coming out at like 2 a.m. And like you said, you don't see what they did because when there's no problem, it's all back in the wall. You're always unhappy with the plumber, but you're nowhere without the water.
Exactly.
Kayla, who do you think gets a bad rap?
I'm a cocktail waitress, so I think servers get a bad rap. When I tell people what I do, everyone's like, oh, how nice, you know, for you. It's like, I make really good tips. I only have to work 3 nights a week. Like, I'm good. You know, in terms of, like, work smarter, not harder, I'm doing it.
Yes. Yes.
I agree. Yeah. I think a lot of times if you're working a server at a certain job at a certain age or whatever, they feel like you're still trying to figure it out. Whereas, you know, you feel like you got it figured out.
Yeah, I'm doing okay.
Right. You put cocktail waitress in front of it, and I think that somebody immediately stereotypes you, and that's not fair.
All that matters at the end of the day is the math. If you got the money, forget it.
What's a job that gets a bad rap? One of my friends is a lawyer, and she was complaining how everyone always thinks she's sneaky.
A lawyer? Gross.
Yeah, except that you really need her sometimes, and she's really smart. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Joseph, job that gets a bad rap.
I think town workers get a pretty bad rep. You know, they think everybody thinks that they pay the their salary comes out of everybody's taxes, and the workers don't do anything. But we run around all day doing a lot.
You know what? I think the town jobs and city jobs are great jobs. Like, everybody wants those jobs.
But why, Raven?
Well, they are. It is right. A great job.
Why do you think that, Raven?
Well, here's the thing is that in my town.
Oh, here we go. you see? Here we go.
In my town, you got to call our department like 5 times to get something done. And I don't know why it always has to end with a threat to call the mayor's office.
Okay.
Like, I mean, come on. Help me out here.
That's a bad rap, see?
You're right.
And what's a job that gets a bad rap?
I think linemen, the people who work on the power lines, get a horrible rap.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, they're always, you know, we think of them as smart people. We think of them as skilled individuals. But when the power is out, we think of them as the slowest people on the planet. Yeah. It's true.
Absolutely. My husband is a lineman, and the other day he came home and told me that an older gentleman wanted to sue them because his internet was not working.
Yeah.
Good.
And they tried to explain to him that internet is totally separate than the power lines that they're working on, right. But wasn't having it.
And by the way, my internet is not working, and I would also consider suing your husband.
Elliot, what's a job that gets a bad rap?
I'll tell you this. I worked as a dishwasher through college, and no one took more crap in a restaurant than a dishwasher. We are underpaid, yet honestly, and I know this might be overrated or a biased take, what have you, but I truly think that if it wasn't for us, the entire restaurant would fall apart. You don't have clean dishes. What are you going to throw your food on? I mean, honestly.
It's accurate.
You're right. Supply and demand, buddy.
When you run out of clean wine glasses, everybody freaks out and it is a beeline to the dishwasher. You are 100% right.
There's 5 people in that tight room all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Right. John, what do you think? Who gets a bad rap?
I think tow truck drivers, but I'm talking about the AAA tow truck drivers, not the kind of drivers that show up when the cop gives you a ticket, and once they get there, you're charged a day's storage. I mean, the guys that are actually out there helping people, not just towing cars for money.
How many laws have you broken that when you get pulled over by a cop, they call for a tow truck?
If your registration's bad, they can tow your car.
It used to be they can. But you're right. I mean, the guys with AAA, you know why? Because we want them to be there instantly.
So happy to see them when they show up.
Yeah, as soon as the car breaks down or whatever, we pull out our phone in the app and we think they're going to be there in 2 seconds. And we forget that they might actually be on another call or whatever. But yeah, they're saviors when they get there.
Oh gosh, AAA has been a savior for me. But also I've been there where they've shown up in like 15 minutes and it's been amazing. And I have sat on the side of the road for hours.
Yep.
Waiting for them.
Yep,
you never know what it's going to be. You never know.
But I think that when you just hear tow truck driver, somebody, you know, pictures somebody with like a crowbar in their hand, a little bit of grease smudged on their face, and they're, you know, trying to take your car the second you're parked somewhere else. And in reality, they're the people that show up, dig your car to the ditch that you just stupidly parked it in. They keep the road safe, and then they give you a ride home or to a place where you can get another car. I mean, they're really nice, actually.
Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why. It's the second largest jackpot of all time.
This is Powerball. Good evening, America. I'm Michelle Lyles. Tonight, we've got another life-changing jackpot for you in an estimated amount of $1.765 billion.
And there is one winner.
Is there really?
One ticket.
Wow. And sold where?
California.
Again. Get out of here with this.
A couple months ago, it was the biggest one, was $2.04 billion, and was also sold in California. This is 75 miles north of L.A. is where it was sold. Now, here's the thing. The place where it was sold, they say it's someone who plays religiously, and it's a regular at that store. That makes me feel better.
It doesn't make me feel better at all. They got 5 out of the 10 largest jackpots ever, all right? Spread the wealth, all right?
And they said, I guess they know who the person is. And the guy had told the guy that goes there, that works there, he says, if I win, I'm going to get you a new truck. Now, the owner says they're waiting for their new truck to show up.
Well, I mean, that's nothing, right? I'm sure they'll get the truck, especially if they've been playing regularly. You know what? I mean, listen, I'm glad to see one person get it. I like to see that over 100 people winning unless it's like a company or, you know, a group of people together.
Yeah.
You know, enough, California. Enough already.
So the numbers are 24, 52, 40, 22, 64. The red Powerball is 10. There are other winners. Arizona, Pennsylvania has one ticket each that's worth $2 million. And seven people, two in California, two in Florida, one in New York, and one in Oklahoma, one also in Virginia, won $1 million. So still check your tickets because you never know. Also trending.
I checked mine. I got one number.
This morning, Raven walked in here and he held up. He goes, maybe I'm leaving.
Yep.
And I already knew.
Bye.
I was like, guess what? You're not. So there's that. Okay, so also trending is Taylor Swift. Last night was the debut of her Eras Tour movie. It was at an AMC Grove in L.A. About 2,200 people were there. It was a mix of fans and celebrities. Celebrities included Adam Sandler, which it was so funny to watch Adam Sandler dance behind Taylor Swift. Maren Morris, Mariska Hargitay, Flava Flav was randomly there.
I mean, I hear he's very nice.
I'm sure, but like, when they were handing out those invites, they're like, Flava Flav wants to come. If I'm Taylor Swift, I'm like, really?
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
I think he's always at the Grove.
Yeah. So she gets up and she gives a speech, and this is what she says.
I've never had a fraction of the amount of fun I had on the Eras Tour before ever. I want to say, like, I have friends in this room. I have my amazing backing vocalists in this room. Yeah!
I like Taylor Swift screaming. Can we just listen to it again? Ready?
Yeah!
It's a lot.
Yeah, she's really, like, loud and really into it.
Okay.
Yeah!
That's enough.
But you know who else showed up and she totally fangirled out? Beyoncé.
Yeah!
It's a big deal.
Yeah. Even she posted on Instagram a picture of her and Beyonce eating popcorn, watching the movie.
Yeah.
Right, that's enough. It's obnoxious. I'm going to turn it down.
I know. It makes me giggle. And she was like, I can't believe that Beyonce showed up. And she fangirled over her.
Yeah. It's just staggering to me to hear. I hear they're doing over 100 million in ticket sales this week. It's just staggering to me to think about, you know, what that tour was this year. And now the movie premiere and whatnot. I mean, there is nothing that she cannot do.
That's kind of an ugly scream, to be honest.
I can't help it.
All these headlines about bed bugs in Paris that basically shut down the city and we're taking mattresses out in the street because the infestation is so gross. I can't even talk about it. We're getting all itchy and grossed out. It's been all over the news here in America that we're having a bed bug issue, too, and it's growing.
Mm.
Joining us, Dylan Osick. He's a sales inspector at Cat's Eye Pest Control. Dylan, you've been in my house before. I have never been so terrified of anything. I have a best friend who has been obsessed with bed bugs as long as I can remember. Is this really a thing we need to be concerned about?
It is. It's important to know the right steps, catch the issue before it becomes a bigger issue.
You know, Anna is talking about itching over here. She doesn't have bed bugs. It should be important to note. We should put that out right now. But just talking about insects, again, you feel kind of like you got the creepy crawlies all over you. So how do you know, Dylan, when you've got an actual issue in the house?
Inspections are super important. We do free inspections here at Cat's Eye. Knowing where to look for bed bugs, if you're worried that you do have them, it's important to check tight creases in your beds, check your bed frames, check baseboards. I found bed bugs behind outlet covers before, LED light strips that people have on their walls. I've seen them behind there. And, you know, those are worst case scenarios, but a newer issue can be very tricky to find. So it's important to have a good, thorough inspection.
Like, will you know when you see one that it's a bed bug? Because I don't know what I'm looking for.
If you know what they look for and you see it, you'll know what it is right away.
Mm-hmm.
Dark brownish. Females are more of an oval shape. Male bed bugs have a little bit of a more pointy abdomen, but a bed bug's a bed bug. If you have them, call somebody.
Is it like cockroaches where, like, if light is exposed, they're going to scurry and run? Do they know? Are they smart enough like that?
So that's one of the issues with bed bugs. They're adapting. So a lot of the stuff that they're doing in Paris, they're realizing that, you know, maybe some of the treatments that used to work maybe aren't working anymore. We've seen that bed bugs will release a pheromone when they sense danger, and that'll scatter the rest of the bed bugs.
Oh my gosh. They're like communicating. They have an alert system that's better than ours. Wow. You think bed bugs know about AI?
You always hear that they come back in your luggage. You go away and they come back in your luggage. My best friend Danielle bought a bed bug oven for luggage. This is a real thing.
Yeah, heat is the best thing you can do. What I tell people is, first of all, when you're unpacking in your hotel, don't put your luggage on the bed. Avoid that. leave your suitcase after you're unpacked, leave it in the bathroom or even in the tub. Those are limited areas for bed bugs to hide.
Wow. A simple thing that I would have literally never thought of.
People see them in the beds, but you were saying before, there's other places that they can go, behind light switches and couches too, I guess?
Usually when we do treatments, we flip everything over. So we'll even unscrew the legs for the couches. We've seen them in the legs of couches. I've seen them behind TVs. Any nook and cranny that they can jam themselves into, that's where you're going to find them.
And what happens? Like, you know, God forbid you have a bed bug infestation. Like, what happens then?
There's a lot of things that we have to do. It's not just one particular treatment that you have to do. There's, you know, three or four different things that we like to do.
This is wild, man. And what about people that are like, oh, I'm having everything treated? I mean, I just think, like, the mattress is dead. Get rid of that thing, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of prep work that goes along with it, and this is going to make you itch, Anna, but it has been discovered that they can live up to 2 years without a feeding.
Oh, my gosh.
A blood feeding.
Yeah, no, just burn that mattress. Burn that mattress and
burn
get a new one.
Or they make mattress covers and things that can help, but most people just say, nope, I'm getting rid of it.
Can you get bed bugs just by they came in somehow, or does it have to be transported by some way, like we talked about the luggage from traveling?
It's generally transported. They're hitchhikers.
Dylan 06, sales inspector at Cat's Eye Pest Control. You can find him online at catseyepest.com.
Good luck, Paris.
Oh, and us too.
Yes.
One couple.
He just doesn't seem to understand why should I go to this wedding now.
Just say no.
One problem.
I want to see her get married. I want to be there for her.
Make an excuse she can't go and, you know, call it a day.
You decide the outcome.
It's so awkward.
It's Couples Corner on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's up for you to decide who's right. Ken and Rochelle. Rochelle, what's going on?
Our daughter is a junior in high school, and she was taking a physics test, but she didn't finish. And her really understanding teacher said, no problem, you can just finish it the next day. But before she passed it back, she took some sneaky pics of the test. So the next day, when she took it, she already memorized all the answers. I have this app that I can check her messages if I need to. She's a great kid, but I saw some texts that alluded to, like, oh, I would have been too nervous. You're the GOAT. I would have been grounded. So I had to question her about it. And she told me what she did. And I said, okay, I'm glad we can talk about this, but it's cheating. And you need to go and tell the teacher because it's not deserved. My husband doesn't agree. So this is where we're having an issue.
Okay. Ken, what do you think?
First off, it's not like this is a one-off. Apparently, they do this all the time now. Kids are taking a test, they run out of time, or they don't finish it. They let them come back the next day and take it. It's not. I mean, like I said, this is not unique. This happens all the time.
She took photos of, like, the other,
whether she took a picture or just looked at it and memorized the questions or got a really good understanding of what the questions are going to be. Any kid can go home, study, come back the next day and finish the test. Yeah. Whatever. She got it. She did it. Done. Move on. Put a period. Let's go.
All right. So what is it, Rochelle, that you want? You want her to come clean? You want her? What?
I do, because it was kind of she didn't know that the teacher was going to allow them. But I find it to be manipulative behavior. And if we don't kind of have her own that, you know, it's, we don't push her. She doesn't need to be valedictorian. That's why I was so surprised that she would go as far as to do that. And not only that, she also shared it with other students. That was the other thing that my husband didn't mention. So to me, I was shocked just because I was like, that's not your personality.
Rochelle, let me just ask you here at this moment here. So what is it you perceive would happen? Because here's the thing. I totally understand how it is that you would be bothered by this. Morally, it feels like it's not correct. But she is a junior in high school. And if you go to tell the teacher that you took a photo of a quiz and then distributed it to other students, I mean, she's probably going to be suspended. Certainly going to be in some sort of trouble. This could definitely be a notation on her transcript. Are you prepared for that? Do you think that this is something that's worth that? Because this is something that could stick with her for many years. Do you want her to learn a lesson from the school, or is this just about being honest?
I didn't even consider all of that. I understand what you're saying, but, you know, maybe this is going to stop worse behavior in the future. You know, you kind of make your bed and you have to lie in it. This is how I was raised, and I'm more of a disciplinarian. She's definitely a daddy's girl, and
I think my husband just, he's too lenient on her. I understand there are some ramifications, but I think it's a big deal what she did.
Well, what would happen if that was your daughter and you found out that she had cheated on a test? Would you make her come clean or would you just have a conversation with her? How would you handle it?
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Why is parenting so hard sometimes? All right. So Ken and Rochelle, their daughter is a junior in high school. She was taking a physics test and the teacher gave them more time because most of the class did not finish. So what did she do? She took sneaky pics of the exam and then she sent them to her friends and they all got the right answers on the next day when they went to go finish the exam. She found out, Rochelle, because she has an app where she can read, like go into her phone to see the stuff. Parents, if you don't know about those, they definitely exist. And she saw this and she is outraged and wants her daughter to go fess up.
There's a lot of questions here, right? There's a lot of things that I don't love about this. And I'm just going to say that, I mean, the teacher is not stupid, all right? The teacher knows that they gave them the time to go back and get the test and, come back the next day with different answers. So the teacher, I'm sure, fully expects them to have done the research. Ken says, listen, I get it. You're not thrilled about this, but going to the school just seems crazy. Why are we going to get other people involved? You want to talk with our daughter? That's one thing. But going beyond that is just, it's a level that we don't need to, get on.
What do you think? Would you make your daughter come clean? 1-800-330-9999. Lindsay, whose side are you on?
I'm torn. I'm on both sides. I think that it is, morally wrong, but especially if this is out of character for her, I would just teach the lesson at home, give her the consequence at home, and I would just lay it to rest. I think it's kind of extreme to go from 0 to 100 and tell the school and all of that. Again, I think it is morally wrong, but I think it can be handled within the family and at home.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's not easy to be a parent when you have to make big decisions like this. Ken and Rochelle have a daughter. She's a junior in high school. She was taking her physics test. Teacher gave extra time for them to come back the following day to finish. What did Rochelle's daughter do? She took sneaky pics of all the questions, sent it to her friends. Rochelle found out, and now she wants her to come clean to the teacher.
I mean, I would just say that, again, you go home. You look up the information, you come back the next day better prepared. Is this the end of the world? Imagine if you were in a workplace environment, would this even be a question? You would be doing what you could do to get ahead.
Yeah, Dad Ken says, no way we can make her confess to this. She's going to get in too much trouble. We have to let it go. But what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Jacqueline, whose side are you on?
I am definitely on mom's side. I'm a school psychologist and my husband is a teacher and we are in complete agreement with mom. Parents are ruining education, to be completely honest, because of the father's belief system. So we 100% take mom's side. This is a good life lesson for her daughter and we fully support her coming clean and being honest.
Hey, John, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
I mean, modern high schools are crazy aggressive about anything related to cheating. And I think it's actually cruel as a parent to want to push your daughter into a situation that can tarnish her transcript so harshly. I would not get involved in that. You can yell at her on, behind closed doors, but do not bring that up to a school system.
Yeah, I think that you make a great point is that you can keep it in-house and still get your point across here. And I will just say this. I think there's a difference between being opportunistic and being maliciously you went out to cheat. This is something that fell across in front of her desk. She wasn't looking for it, okay? Mm. Now, she made the most of it, but it's also not like she wrote the answers on her hand and then came back in. She went home. She looked up the answers. In fact, she learned the information.
I mean, I disagree with that statement. cheating is cheating. Opportunistic seems like a word that's just made up,
A sack falls out of an armored car right in front of me. I didn't rob the bank.
But you didn't bring the cash back.
It's littering. Mm. They were leaving it there.
That's,
Hey, Jen, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
I'm on the wife's side. I'm a teacher, and I know that if a student came to me saying that she made a mistake and she wanted to own up to it, I'd be more lenient than if the school found out and saw pictures circulating. Then there would be more of a consequence, and it would not be a learning situation.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Rochelle, our audience agreed with you. There has to be some kind of repercussion for the fact that she did something wrong. Now, the big decision that you're going to have to go back and forth on, is it a punishment between the two of you at home, separate from the school, or does she actually have to go to the school and fess up about what happened to her teacher? That's something that you guys are going to have to figure out on your own. But ultimately, Rochelle, the audience agreed with you. She did something wrong, and there should be some kind of consequence.
Yeah, I feel validated. And you're right, Ken, we need to talk. We all need to talk. And there will be some kind of disciplinary action for this. It's definitely going to still be us, or if we're going to have the school get involved. But we're definitely all going to have to talk about this.
All right, fine. But I still think you're making mountains out of molehills.
Yeah, I hope it all works out. I do.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $300 thanks to Sherwin-Williams. Ask Sherwin-Williams and save 40% on paints and stains October 13th through the 16th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Hey, Lauren, you ready to play today?
Hi, I'm ready to go.
All right, let's do it. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck, Lauren.
Okay. So Raven's walking out of here. Be nice if you moved a little faster today. All right, now he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in. Ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready?
I'm ready.
A 2,749-pound pumpkin in California broke the record for the largest pumpkin of all time. The pumpkin's name is Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan wore what number when winning 6 championships?
I'm not sure. 15?
Number 2, Michael Jackson's black and white leather jacket that he wore in a famous 1984 Pepsi commercial will hit the auction block. What color was the jacket he wore in the music video for Thriller?
Black.
Number 3, tomorrow is Friday the 13th and also the 30th anniversary of Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas. Paul Rubens voiced the character Locke. Paul Rubens was famously known by another iconic character he played that wore a tie. Who was that? A bow tie.
I'm not sure. Jack Skellington?
Number 4, speaking of Tim Burton, he said that the Beetlejuice sequel has less than 2 days left of filming amid the Hollywood strike. What is the name of the song famously used during the dinner scene in the movie Beetlejuice?
I know it. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. And number 5, Beyonce showed up to support Taylor Swift as she sat at the first screening of her Eras Tour movie. Beyonce will also be launching her tour in the movie theaters. What's the name of Beyonce's tour?
I'm not sure.
All right. I'm not going to lie, Lauren. That was terrible. But that's okay. You know? You tried. Lauren didn't get any.
Lauren. That's great.
I didn't think they were that hard.
Well, I mean, I can't lose with a tie, so it feels like the game's over. But let's play anyways. $300.
All right. Number 1, a 2,749-pound pumpkin in California broke the record for the largest pumpkin of all time. Pumpkin's name is Michael Jordan.
Okay.
Michael Jordan wore what number when winning 6 championships?
Well, I mean, I don't know if he wore it for all 6, but he wore 23.
He wore 23 for all 6.
Wow.
Number 2, Michael Jackson's black and white leather jacket that he wore in a famous 1984 Pepsi commercial is going to hit the auction block. What color was the jacket he wore in the music video for Thriller?
Red.
Yes. Number 3, tomorrow is Friday the 13th and the 30th anniversary of Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas. Paul Rubens voiced the character Locke. Paul Rubens was famously known by another iconic character that he played that wore a bow tie. Who was that?
This is embarrassing, Lauren. Pee-wee Herman.
Number 4, speaking of Tim Burton, he said the Beetlejuice sequel has less than 2 days of filming left amid the Hollywood strike. What's the name of the song famously used during the dinner scene in Beetlejuice?
The name of it, you're thinking of Day-O. It's a banana boat song.
That's exactly. I would have accepted Day-O. The Banana Boat song, or either.
Harry Belafonte.
Yes. I can't believe you know that.
Oh, yeah.
Number 5, Beyonce showed up to support Taylor Swift as she sat at the first screening of her Eras Tour movie. Beyonce is also going to be launching her own tour in movie theaters. What's the name of Beyonce's tour?
Renaissance.
That's right. I'm sorry, Lauren. 5-0 today. That'll get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
This is Lauren, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $400 tomorrow, Anna.
I was afraid that somebody was going to tie you with all 5 because I thought they were too easy.